Welcome to the wisdom and wit of Father Matthew Guckin. Over the years, Father Matthew Guckin has produced many wonderful teaching series, and we are delighted to showcase a number of them for you. On today's show, an episode from his series on the Gospel of St. John. Here's Father Guckin.
Hello, Father Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. Thanks for having me back. Really enjoying this series on the Gospel according to St. John.
I am too, Father. I think you're doing a fantastic job.
Thanks, Dave.
I'm learning so much, and I know our listeners will.
Yeah, thanks. Well, that makes me glad, to be sure. But I'm really looking forward to sort of rolling up our sleeves and diving into the 12th chapter of John's Gospel.
Okay. Mary anoints Jesus. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at table with him. Mary took a pound of costly ointment of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to take what was put into it. Jesus said, "Let her alone. Let her keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." The plot to kill Lazarus. When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came, not only on account of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus also to death, because on account of him many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The next day a great crowd who had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young ass and sat upon it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on an ass's colt." His disciples did not understand this at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that this had been written of him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see that you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Some Greeks wished to see Jesus. Now among those who went to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew went with Philip, and they told Jesus. Then Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Jesus speaks about his death. "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing by heard it and said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show by what death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light, the unbelief of the people. When Jesus had said this, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. It was that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe. For Isaiah again said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes and perceive with their heart, and turn for me to heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Summary of Jesus' teaching. And Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has a judge. The word that I have spoken will be his judge on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority. The Father who sent me has himself given me commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has bidden me. Well, Father, was a lot in there.
And in fact, I'm glad you said that because I can't go through every word of chapter 12 of John's Gospel.
Oh, why not, Father?
Well, so I'm just going to pick out some things. I'm going to talk about the anointing of Christ's feet, because there's a lot in there.
I know.
I'm going to talk about the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And in particular, Dave, I want to talk about the dependence Jesus has on others, which is weird because he's God, you know, but I'll try to do my best to unpack that. And some of these are just points of interest that I always have is the encounter with these Greeks that you just proclaimed that Christ has, because I think it's really important. I'll get into it. But just to give a chronological context of this, chapter 12 starts 6 days before Good Friday. So that just gives you an idea of, where are we in all of this? It's 6 days before Good Friday, and we find our Lord at a meal with his apostles and a number of others. Now, one of the things that I find interesting is in Bethany is that Lazarus is there. If you remember from chapter 11, Lazarus had been dead. Yes. And now there he is, just sort of chomping away on hummus or something that he's eating here. But I would just think, wouldn't that strike you as odd? Wait a minute, that guy was in a tomb for four days.
Yeah. Look
at him now, having a Diet Coke, enjoying life. But at the end of the meal, the sister of Martha, Mary, who was, quietly sitting at our Lord's feet while Martha was going berserk, she carries a vase, if you will, of costly ointment. And there's Judas, who put a price on everything. I don't know who told me this, but Judas knew the price of everything, but the value of nothing.
Oh, I like that.
So he puts a price on it right away. And he values it at about a year's wages. Right. Now, I ask everyone to please pay close attention to this because I think it's so important. One of the things that we Catholics get criticized about, why don't you sell all that gold and all those fancy vestments and then you can feed
all
the
that
poor.
Property you right, own.
All exactly.
All oh, that well, property.
Throw
yes.
it away, right?
Yeah.
It's the argument of Judas. Just know that. I have a couple of responses to that. First of all, who are we selling it to? Let's say, for argument's sake, we're selling everything to a guy named Fred. well, why didn't you go bother Fred and let him pay for the poor? Because apparently he's got all this money to,
yes.
to buy. Okay, so mm-hmm. that's number one. But number two, and I think more important, nothing but the best for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and so I was given a gift at my ordination of mm-hmm. from some friends, a beautiful chalice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very simple. If you were to see my mm-hmm. chalice, but it is beautiful.
Yes.
There's an elegance in its simplicity.
That's nice. That's beautiful.
People, I guess, would put in that their own argument. Why don't you sell that? You mm-hmm. know, and you know, buy a hamburger for mm-hmm. the poor or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now if you look at Our Lady of Mount Carmel Parish. We have nice vestments, nice vessels, beautiful church. So there's not one organization in Doylestown that supports the poor more than we do. And the reason we do that is you look
mm-hmm. yes,
you look at the works that, say, our St. Vincent de Paul Society does. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are overwhelmingly generous.
Yes.
It's not either or, it's both and. And when Christ is our highest good,
mm-hmm.
then we do what Christ tells us to do, which is to be, you can never forget the poor. So I just something that, whenever
yes.
I hear this reading proclaimed, I always think of, you know, the naysayers, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
At least in the case of Judas, philanthropy was really serving to cover up his covetousness. Right?
I like that, yes.
He counted as waste, right, because she wasted on him, that which was used for the glory of God, right? Mm-hmm. So he knows the price of everything, doesn't know the value of anything.
Mm-hmm. I love that, Father Matt. Thank you.
You're welcome. And also, those who give out of love of the death of Christ and his glory are those who always give to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Always, always, always. People who truly love Jesus always love the poor, because in giving to the poor, we're giving to Jesus.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But those who ignore the Savior, as Judas did, are those who hustle off after a defense of the poor to sell the master for 30 pieces of silver.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Mary uses the oil to anoint his head and feet. And it harkens back to the Old Testament, where Jacob poured ointment on a stone, dedicating it as an altar of sacrifice. Now Mary poured it on Christ, which means the anointed one, to prepare him for sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things that we do, part of the ritual of building a church or dedicating a new church,
mm-hmm.
is they pour. Have you ever been to a dedication of a
church?
I
have not.
Yeah, one of the things is that the bishop of the diocese comes mm-hmm. and dedicates it, and he pours oil all over the altar mm-hmm. and rubs it in, you know, and he lavishes the altar
mm-hmm.
with fine oil,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because the altar is a symbol
yes.
of Christ himself. And now let me just sort of pivot to the entrance into Jerusalem. He comes on a donkey. And again, we see not only his divinity, but and this is what I was talking about earlier, but also mm-hmm. his dependence. You see, the Word became flesh. And a consequence of the incarnation, that Word becoming flesh, is that flesh would become dependent on others. He was dependent on Mary's yes,
mm-hmm.
right? He borrowed a boat in which to preach. He borrowed barley loaves and fish
mm-hmm.
to feed the multitude, but now he borrows a donkey to ride. And how great is our dignity that to a certain extent, Christ is dependent on us.
Yes.
You know, to be Christ in the world. There's a great story. It said when Jesus got, after the ascension, he got to heaven, and it's a legend, but it illustrates my point here. St. Michael the Archangel said, well, how did it go?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it was great. He said, did you convert the whole world? He said, no, but I was able to convert you know, about 20 people. Mm-hmm. He said, you were down there for 33 years, and you only got 20 people. He said, but the thing is, they're going to get 20 people, and then those 40 people will get 80 people, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and he says, that's your plan? And he said, yeah. And St. Michael said, do you have a plan B? You know, like there is a certain dependence that Christ has.
Well, we are his eyes, his ears, his hands, his feet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. His mouth.
His mouth.
Yeah, to proclaim his love.
Yes.
So this entry of Jesus into Jerusalem is marked with hosannas, which means God save us now. But those hosannas, as we know, in a very short time, those shouts are transformed into the shout of crucify him.
Yes. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, for that crowd that just loved him and was so welcoming and loving, they turned on a dime.
Yeah, I mean, there are some scholars who say, that would have been a different group. But in general, they represent the crowd and how fickle the crowd is. And not only are the hosannas transformed into crucify hymns, the palms are turned into spears.
Yes.
So I just think it should serve as a lesson for all of us. Like
I was just going to say, I mean, are we part of the crowd, the current crowd.
Yeah.
Which way are we going to shout Hosanna?
Yeah.
Or are we going to shout crucify him?
Yeah.
And how many of us in the world, of our brothers and sisters who have turned their back on him in the world?
Especially when times get tough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while his enemies are plotting to kill him, there are Greeks who wish to see him. Now, what's neat here is that when Christ was born, the wise men of the East came to his cradle. And now these Greeks, or the wise men of the West, they come to the cross.
Mm.
And when they arrive, Jesus explains his passion to them, not by way of scripture, because they're a pagan people. They're the Gentiles. They wouldn't understand scripture. Instead, he uses an example from nature. Now, the Greeks are notorious for being philosophers, that is to say, observers of the natural world. So Christ knows that. And so he says to them, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, you know, it remains just a grain of wheat. So he's talking about his death and our death. Like, we can't become, our potential can't be actuated until our lower nature dies.
I love that word, actuated.
I just made, is it a word?
It is a word, yes.
It is now, right? So. I think they said Shakespeare invented about 18,000 words. Well, Guckin can invent one, right?
At least.
probably others. And then next, using almost the same words he would use in the garden, Jesus reveals his anguish.
Mm.
He says, I am troubled now, yet what should I say?
Mm-hmm.
Father, save me from this hour. So in response to this, the voice of the Father came to him, as it had at his baptism at the Jordan, as it had at his transfiguration on Mount Tabor. Now the voice came not in a river scene or on a mountaintop. Instead, it came from above the temple with the Gentiles present. And the Father spoke to convince his hearers of the purpose of Jesus' mission, and that is to give a new life through death. That's what's known as the Paschal mystery, the passion, death, and resurrection. And there isn't just a passion that we undergo, a death and a resurrection. There are multiple passions. There are multiple deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And there are multiple resurrections that we experience, like that dying to self, like letting my sin die or letting my will die. And sometimes life just takes it away from us and we have no other where to go. Yeah. And so have you ever had a moment like that?
Oh, absolutely.
In your life?
Oh, Father,
do you care to share?
Well, okay, having been in the military and stuff, and I lived apart from Barbara and the family. Well, my kids were, you know, grown and gone, but still, I mean, I wanted to get to the end of my my career, but that necessitated like kind of living, you know, living apart. I'm surrendering. I had to surrender to the Lord because I was, you know, I would get up every morning and I would just think, oh, another day closer to my retirement, God willing. And but I need to surrender to you, Lord. I just want to all my work that I do for the rest of my Army career and the rest of my life, and try and just submit and surrender, and then drive into Washington D.C.
right,
where I worked at Walter Reed. I mean, and sometimes I would get so lonely. Yeah. I'm thinking, why am I here? And then the practical side of me, and that, like many people can relate to this. Well, I mean, you're almost there. You're almost at the finish line. You can gut it out. You can hang in there. But it came to surrendering to the Lord and totally saying, Lord, I need your strength to get me there.
Yeah.
You know?
So there's a dying to self.
I had to die to self.
And, yeah, that's...
I wanted to die to self.
Yeah.
But then you go to work, you know, but that's in me. And that is a whole new creation. And not new. I mean, and I've done that other times. I think a lot of us do in whatever the circumstances that dictate that.
It could be sickness.
Sickness,
right?
Absolutely.
It could be a time of sickness.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's the other pains. Okay. We better move on here. So the sentence passed on the world was the cross. All are judged by it. Either people are on the cross or they're under the cross.
Mm.
And the cross would reveal the moral state of the world. On the one hand, it would show the depth of evil by the crucifixion. On the other hand, it would make evident the mercy of God by offering pardon to all who take up their cross daily. Not Jesus, but the world was being judged. Not Jesus, but Satan was being cast out. So really, in summation of his teaching, it's the cross. The cross alone mattered.
Mm-hmm.
His teachings, his miracles, the fulfillment of all the prophecies, all of these were subordinate to Jesus' mission on earth, which is to be like a grain of wheat, which would pass through the winter of Calvary and then become the bread of life. Like, that's it. That's the Christian message. That's the summation of his teaching right there. The miracles, you know, they're special effects.
Yeah.
You know, and that happens.
They're signposts.
That's it, which is great. I mean, it's powerful.
Yeah.
That's why when I see... people, Catholic people, who are running from one miracle to the next. Did you see this is incredible? I really believe this. Don't you believe it? It's like, okay, of course it can happen.
Yes.
But they're special effects.
Yes.
And I've gotten caught up in it too. There was a woman named Mary Ellen Lucas when I was in the seminary who had the stigmata of Christ. I couldn't wait to see it. And I saw it. It was amazing. But as time is going on, why am I amazed? It's God can do all of this.
He can do anything.
The Christian message is not found in the miracles.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian message is found in the cross. The Christian message is found in the passion, death, and resurrection that we face sometimes daily.
Absolutely.
As we go through our
Absolutely.
Lives. So I think that's the message of Christ, and in a particular way, that's the message of chapter 12 of the Gospel according to St. John.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Man, a lot in there, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. And I invite you to open your Bible and, in a way, read in between our... when you'll be hearing these airings of the series.
Yeah.
You know, delve into it. Delve into the scriptures that Father Matt is homilizing and talking about with me, Dave Parker, here at Holy Spirit Radio in this beautiful, wonderful series. We are going to continue, God willing, you know. And we'll be back in two more chapters of the Gospel of John. And then Father Matt can just expound and delve into it. And so, I mean, this is so rich. I'm learning, as I said earlier in this broadcast, always learning something new and relearning.
Me
you know,
too.
Yes. So thank you, Father Matt, for
you're
coming
welcome.
Here to Holy Spirit Radio and doing this.
Thank you very
this.
Much. Yeah, you're welcome. And it's good for me, too. And next week when we transition into chapter 13, we go from the anointing of Jesus' feet to Jesus washing the feet of his disciples at the Last Supper.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I look forward to that. And I'll see you next week.
See ya.
See ya.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel of St. John with Father Matthew Guckin on Holy Spirit Radio.